Hey everybody, welcome to Teal Tinted Glasses Barracuda post game. It's bad. Not only is the show going to be bad, but the game was bad, and we're obviously going to break it down to you for those who are just tuning in, didn't really pay attention. The Stockton Heat defeat the San Jose Barracuda by a 5-3 score, which forces game 5, which will be Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific at SAP Center. So if you get tickets, definitely that'll be a game, fun game to check out. With me tonight is Zach, who is reporting in once again from Stockton. And Zach, just initial thoughts on the game.
Well, you know, initially I thought that this game or this series had all the components to really go deep and go to 5 games, and it didn't disappoint. You know, Stockton weathered the early storm. You know, the Barracuda jumped out to a quick 1-0 lead. And credit to Stockton. You know, they battled back. They stuck with it. The Barracuda's defense is doing what it can against such a big and heavy, skilled forward group with the Stockton Heat. But, you know, what we're seeing is kind of what I thought at the onset, that this was two teams that on paper matched up pretty well for a heck of a series.
Yeah, no, can't argue with that at all. And definitely you have to credit Stockton here. I mean, they, you know, their backs were against the wall, and they came out and really put the pressure on the Barracuda. And now, you know, the Barracuda are going back home for a game 5, where it's, you know, it's all fun and games to be maybe, you know, to be the better seeded team. But if you can't win the game, then it doesn't really matter how you finish the regular season. So they're gonna, you know, they have a lot to prove going back home, I think, after some of the games that they've played, pretty much all the games that they played in the series. There's definitely some questions that linger large right now with the Barracuda, from the defense, you know, just and just the fact that they've just allowed Stockton goals in bunches.
Yeah, you know, Stockton being able to come through and get those goals and bunches is certainly something that has been an issue in this series. You hate to even mention it, but, you know, does that call into question some mental toughness? You know, the Barracuda this season really ran over much of the Pacific the Western Conference is now playoff hockey. It's changed, and it's not exactly their bread and butter. We've seen it in stretches, but certainly 60 expected. Kind of what we pointed out coming into the series preview. Mm-hmm. Stockton's been playing playoff hockey pretty much all since March.
Right.
And I think that that combativeness is really showing up in these games. And it's something that I don't know that the Barracuda have really experienced too much this season.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's really, you know, it's hard when you don't have to, you get really tested with adversity. I mean, the Barracuda, yeah, they've had their ups and downs through the season, but for the most, I mean, they for the most part were able to coast through most of it. And, you know, now you've got maybe on paper the best possible lineup that the Barracuda could have, with obviously guys coming back down, and, you know, I think they're a little shell-shocked a little bit that this has happened to them, and they're not just, you know, gonna roll, you know, with all the wins all the way to the thing. I can't do the math.
Yeah. And, you know, that big line, which is now Sorensen, O'Regan and LeBanc, you know, they had that early goal, but defensively, I thought they struggled overall in this game. And looking at the replay, I don't have the best vantage point at Stockton Arena, but on replay, it looked like LeBanc lost the Heat forward on that on the fourth goal. I'm driving, so you'll have to bear with me.
Yep.
It's, you know, that we are seeing the Kevin LeBanc that we saw with the Barracuda in the early part of the season. I feel like he's still finding his game back at this level.
Yeah.
And there's really only that you could do. And hockey, you know, Stockton the last two games has had last chance matchups. Coach Huska has won the, you know, game three and four, and it's going to be
Zach, can you try to reconnect to the hangar? You're just coming in and out.
Are they going? You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry.
Oh, that's what, I mean, it, you know, it is what it is. We're, you're on the road, and obviously that's going to, your cell reception is going to be in and out. So it's an expected thing.
where I was going with it is, you know, this is a pretty big dose of adversity for this team that really hasn't had too much of it this season. So it's obviously going to be, not to put too fine a point on it, you know, game five is going to obviously be pretty important to their postseason hopes. And it's really how they're going to respond. You know, Troy Grosnick has been good in this series, but, you know, he stole game one for the Barracuda, and they really haven't been doing him too many favors after the game. You know, talking to him about it, you know, he said that he needs to be better. He needs to make those saves. He's not going to blame it on the defense. So kudos to that veteran presence in the net, you know, saying, hey, I've got to be better. I've got to make those stops for the club.
Right. I mean, I thought Trey Grosnick was pretty good, but he wasn't, you know, I mean, his team hung him out. Like, there's a couple of those goals that where he was just absolutely hung out.
Yeah, the team defense definitely is all struggling, you know, but that's what we expected out of Stockton. You know, they have the size to create physical mismatches with the San Jose Barracuda, and they're doing a great job of it. I thought Mark Jankowski had a very strong game in both zones. Andrew Mangiapane is coming around. I believe he now has 4 points in this series.
Yeah, six touchdown goal tonight for Mangiapane.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of their young Barry Colt star is starting to, you know, find his game. And it'll be interesting. I mentioned, you know, Tim Heed's goal, and he said that, you know, the shots need to be getting through, but I don't know how much more Tim Heed can be doing when it's playoff hockey and the Stockton Heat are willing to dive in front of that howitzer every single time. I mean, you're not going to see that with such regularity in the regular season, and we're seeing it shift after shift from the Stockton Heat.
Yep. No, it's not. Another on the Heat, I thought Shin Carrick had another good game too. He's been, you know, he's the goal and assist, five shots on goal. He's really been pretty solid for the Heat through the playoffs so far, which, you know, the criticism on him is that he's like, he's not, and he's been there every game so far. And the Barracuda don't seem to have much of an answer for him either.
Yeah. You know, it's tough because, you know, Mangiapane and Shin Carrick, they're a little bit more of the San Jose Barracuda style player. You know, they're not that big.
Right.
They're skilled. They're speedy, shifty. And so it creates, you know, it allows the Heat to really switch gears. You send out Matt Fratton, Lyndon Bay, Mike Angelides, some of, you know, Brendan Bolig, some of these guys with NHL experience that are big, heavy players. And then all of a sudden you come back with a real skilled, shifty, speedy line. And, you know, it's tough. And I think we're seeing that.
On the Barracuda side, I thought that, Berkshire continues to have a good, I thought he had a great game again. And you know, he's not finding the back of the net, but not for a lack of trying. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I was able to catch Chartier on his way to the bus and asked him about that. And, you know, he kind of shrugged and said, you know, that's just kind of how this season has gone for me. When I asked him about it, you know, he gets some grade A chances and it's just not getting to the, you know, the back of the net. He had around 40 points for the Barracuda. So it's not like he's been completely snake bitten, but it sounds to me, you know, speaking to him, he expects more out of his offense.
Right.
He's certainly getting the chances and I think he has the skill, you know, to be bearing more of those chances, but I thought he and Robinson went together. They have been for really the last 6 weeks. Timo Meier, I thought, had an overall good game.
Mm-hmm.
Haluka was Noah Rode was put in his place, and I asked Sommer after the game, and he mentioned that, and this could be coach speak, so take it with a grain of salt, but he said Haluka was healthy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how much weight I would put into that. I don't think that taking Adam Haluka out of the lineup on a big game like this for Noah Rode is an improvement to that lineup.
No.
That's just, you know, from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Haluka. Yeah, no, that's interesting, because I didn't really notice the lack of. It's just kind of funny until you mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, it was a frustrating game because, I mean, the Barracuda came out, but like their second periods, if there's a period that's really been rough for the Barracuda, it seems like the second period is where everything, you know, falls apart. And then sometimes in the third period, they can correct it and, you know, course correct and take the game, but other times it's just like this second period is got to be a concern for Sommer at this point. Was that something that you noticed as well?
You know, it has been a trend. I was speaking with some folks before the game, and I really thought the key for the Barracuda was getting out to a quick start. Martin has been a mixed bag. So I felt early goal, I thought, okay, you know, they're awake, their legs are in, and I thought they carried the first period, certainly in scoring chances. But you're right, the second to be this team's weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be concerning.
Yeah, it absolutely is. To me, it's something that they're gonna have to correct. Because I mean, game five, it's winner take all. It doesn't matter, you know, who's the better seeded team now. I mean, whoever wins this game is going on, and I mean that's something that you'd hope that the Barracuda could address in that game. And it's gonna be interesting because I mean, when you look, obviously the veterans on the Barracuda have been good, but when you look at, you know, the veterans on the Stockton Heat have been also really good. And there's a little, you know, I feel like there's a little more experience on that Stockton side when it comes to that veteran present.
You have more veteran present, especially with but I'll agree that he then you go to a one game of NHL experience, and from there the bottom pairing, you've got Middle, who are both undrafted free. You know, the Barracuda are going with back lineup, and outside of line with Carpenter, McCarthy, and Good Boudreau young lineup. But either way, you know, this is those coachable moments, one of where, you know, you've got to keep the pressure on the team. Momentum is, you know, we see it in the NHL, we see it in the AHL, see it in the CHL. Year in, no team is going to dominate or really going to dominate for 60 minutes in a playoff contest.
For sure. Sorry, we lost most of that on you, Zach. Just the reception keeps popping in and out for you. Do you have like a condensed version? All right. Well, it appears we have lost poor Zach. I apologize. The Barracuda, just going to hit the chat here quickly. If the Barracuda win, they will play the winner of the Ontario Reign and the San Diego Gulls. They play game four tomorrow, with the Gulls leading that series 2-1. But interesting on an interesting note with the Gulls is that they had a couple players called up. I believe Nick Cardelis got called up, and I got to look up the other name. Give me a second here, guys. I know I'm going to tap dance and try and do my best here. Nick Cardelis and Andre Kershaw were called up to the Ducks this morning. So it'll be interesting to see what the Gulls look like tomorrow without both of them in the line, especially Cardelis. Cardelis has been a player that I've definitely noticed anytime we've played the San Diego Gulls. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. But right now, I mean, you know, that's still a big if, and I don't want to look too far ahead at this point because game five looms big. In San Jose. Game five is going to be interesting. It's going to be a tough matchup. I mean, I'm going to try and decipher Zach's code, and you know, this is a team that, you know, they might be a little more heavy veteran presence on the Stockton Heat, but I mean, the Barracuda, you know, this is a good team, and this is a team that's going to have to, you know, really put it on the line, and I think that's something that as Sharks fans, we really probably need to see at this point. You're going to see a lot of stupid people on the internet because it's the internet and stupid people exist. And, and they're going to basically say like, oh, this is an organizational problem and stuff, you know, and stuff like this. And I don't, you know, even if the Barracuda, for some reason, don't pull it out on Tuesday, I don't think this is a huge indictment of these kids. I think that it's disappointing, and I think that people should absolutely be disappointed by it. But I would try to minimize the hot takery that would come after, because I don't think it's an indictment on these players. I don't think it's going to show that, oh, these guys are just the worst and there's no hope in our prospect pool either and blah, 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 blah. It's not like that. I think that they're kids and, you need to have some patience with them and look at, we've seen that the talent in these kids. And I think that, you know, letting one 5-game series kind of destroy the faith that they've built up, I think would be foolish. At the end of the day, these guys are there to develop, to become NHLers. And I don't think one playoff series is going to be the make or break.
Yeah, Ian, I agree with you. Hopefully you've got me back now.
I do.
In the prospect world, we call that sample sizzle, where you see one tournament of a young player or one hot stretch that all of a sudden completely skews everything you've seen from that player to this point. And Dryden Hunt last year is a great example, who went on a goal scoring tear and parlayed that into a contract. Underlying numbers weren't there. His sample sizzle went off the charts. He was playing out of his mind, and good for him. He got a contract, and maybe he'll continue to develop. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden he's a better prospect than, say, Clayton Keller.
Right.
And so a five-game sample size, especially with such young players all in their rookie season, is nearly negligible. It's something to pay attention to. It's something to file away in the memory bank, saying, you know, if this is still the case 2 and 3 years from now, where they're having postseason struggles, or, you know, when the games get hard and heavy, they somewhat disappear, then you can start to formulate that. But, you know, in the rookie professional season for nearly all of these players, that's dangerous at best.
Yeah, you know, and another great, you know, sizzle sample is like the World Juniors. I think that's like the greatest. The World Juniors makes or breaks so many prospects, it seems. Like, you know, I go back to...
and every year, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes me back. I remember when Lawson Crouse, like, jumped to, like, 5 before falling back down again. It was insanity. And, you know, and so it's a good, you know, it's a good thing to keep in mind too. Like, it's, you know, obviously you want to see the thing, like, look at the series with the Sharks. I mean, you know, Zach Cassian gets a couple of goals, and then, you know, next thing he's like, he's the greatest. But really, I mean, you know, he just was in the right place at the right time. You know, I don't know about, I don't completely believe, like, I know that there's guys that seem to come through, but I've never been a believer in clutch per se. Like, I think opportunity sometimes just is there for some players, and, you know, some players, you know, have come up big in big games, but, you know, I think some, they're just in the right place at the right time.
Just kind of going through the chat here. Yeah, right. That, you know, it's the choking narratives because we're Sharks fans and that's what we're all used to. But you know what? I would not buy too much into it. Just to go around, like, some other American Hockey League stuff, like Wilkes-Barre Scranton was the only team that finished in the league higher than the Barracuda. They're out. I mean, it, you know, upsets happen. That's hockey. But I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to cushion anyone's feelings. I still think that the Barracuda can win this series, and I still want them to win this series, and I still want to be talking about, you know, round 2 Barracuda hockey next week. But, you know, one way or another, we're gonna see what this team is made of for sure. Any other questions in the chat while I'm chilling out here? Oh, I'm all by myself. All by myself. So let's go over some of the numbers here just while I tap dance around. Hopefully Zach can come back on. Barracuda power play went 0-3 tonight. So that's been, the power play hasn't been fantastic for them during the postseason so far. But they also kept the Stockton Heat off the board during the power play. You know, another scary thing here is, I know we all hate plus minus, but just because I'm looking at numbers, Buddy Robinson was the only person who was above even, because Buddy Robinson is awesome. Are we going to talk lottery draft stuff? I can. I'd rather not, but I can if I need to. Zach, are you there?
I'm trying to get back in. I'm just going over the Altamont pass, so hopefully, hopefully I'll get some clean signal here for a little bit. Sorry, everybody. We're doing our best.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, what do I think of the baby Pens being out? Just shows that anything can happen in the playoffs. Having a good season and coasting through, you know, Wilkes-Barre Scranton's another team that just kind of coasted for the last couple of months. And, you know, playing a team, you know, that fourth seed, especially in some of these divisions, that's a hard one to get because there's so many teams fighting for it. You know, the worst case scenario, you don't finish in first, you finish in second, you're still a playoff team. These guys, you know, the teams that get in that fourth seed, they're fighting for their playoff lives pretty much right up until the end. So they're better prepared for the playoffs, I think, in that respect.
Yeah, and for the baby Penguins, they lost to Zane McIntyre.
Right.
And by proxy, the Hershey Bears are moving on, but in reality, Zane McIntyre is moving on, and he's just dragging the Hershey Bears, the Providence Bruins, along with him.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that also shows what happens when you get a goaltender that just decides, "Hey, I'm going to play the next couple games standing on my head. You all go do whatever you do, and I'll make 50 saves on 51 shots."
Right.
You know, that
definitely helps.
Yeah. I mean, what's that save percentage? That would be what, a 980 save percentage?
I can go look it up. Yeah, something silly.
You're right. I mean, something ridiculous.
It's just silly. I mean, I'm going to take a look just because I'm curious now. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's the playoffs. Anything can happen. We've seen it. I mean, we've even seen it like the NHL playoffs, like the teams that beat other teams. I mean, like, my bracket is destroyed. I like to think I'm a smart hockey guy. I usually do pretty good on my bracket. This year it was over in round one. So, I mean, take that for what you will.
Yeah. You know, and especially when the games change, you know, generally your superstar lines, and we're seeing that a little bit with the San Jose Barracuda. You know, the superstar lines, the point producers, they really get quiet in the postseason because so much attention is paid to them. So, you know, the coaches are militant about getting the lineup that favors their team. You know, it just gets so much harder in the postseason. And every year, you know, I say this, and I feel like every year some folks forget it. It's, you know, the sport is the same regular season to postseason, but the game is completely different.
Right. Zane McIntyre has a .936 save percentage over five games.
See, and against a firing team like the baby Penguins.
Yeah.
That's silly. Pretty phenomenal.
That is absolutely silly. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I follow the Barracuda. I keep tabs on what's going on in Pacific Division. I don't really watch much else when it comes to AHL hockey. There's just not enough time in the world. So, I mean, I can't, you know, when it comes to like the East Conference, I don't really, you know, I don't really care about a lot of the Eastern teams because they're not even like, it's not like before when we had our team out there and, you know, our rivals were teams like Providence or whatever, where it was now I'm kind of just like, whatever, you know, I mean, the baby Penguins, I don't really care if they're in or out. I don't, you know, I don't really, I dislike our rivals affiliates. I don't like the Gulls. I don't like the Rain, you know, but when it comes to, you know, other teams like that, I really don't care from a personal, you know, it doesn't give me any extra satisfaction because that the baby Penguins are out because I'm scared the big Penguins are going to repeat. So, the baby Penguins being out brings me no satisfaction.
It also is worth pointing out with, the Gulls, you know, NHL affiliate, the Anaheim Ducks still in it. Montour and Theodore are still up with the NHL, you know, Ducks.
Right.
And the entire series, the complexion of that series changes if those two players come back and are effective. If they have a bad case of NHL-itis, it might mitigate, the upswing that they bring. If they come back, hungry and pissed off, that could be a rough series for the Barracuda. And that's assuming Game 5 goes in their favor. And I think at this point, as we've seen, Stockton has what it takes to, give the Barracuda a handful.
It'll be interesting to see if they send back down Nick Cordelius tomorrow, though, for their game against the Rain, because that, that team's getting a little strip mined, though, at the same time. And that could give them, they play the Rain tomorrow for Game 4. And I think that's going to be an interesting game, especially if they keep Cordelius up.
Did Cordelius play today?
No, I don't. You know what? I haven't looked. I don't know for sure. So I don't want to say no. I don't think so, but I don't want to speak out of turn either.
Yeah. If he didn't play, I think that the chances of him playing tomorrow are much better. If he played tonight, I would say they're next to zero.
Right.
Even if he just played 9 minutes, they're just not going to throw him right back out like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Give me a second. I will find out. I see all these things. And in the chat, just while we're talking, James Abel mentioning that Tristan Jarry, the goalie for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, also got called up to back up Marc-Andre Fleury. So that definitely has an effect on your series as well.
That's right, because Murray injured himself in warm-ups of Game 1.
Right.
Yeah. So, lots of things happen. And, for the Heat and the Barracuda, these are two completely stocked teams, though.
Right.
This is fighting fire with fire. Pardon the bad pun there with the Flames and Heat references, but... it's certainly these two teams don't have an excuse. The better team in this series is going to win, and that's what it's going to come down to. The other side of it is, I really do feel that the Barracuda, once they're on home ice, and I know it didn't quite pan out this way in Game 2, but they're able to get much better matchups, especially
right.
for the kids line at home. So. That's why you play for home ice, and I think it's going to have a big part in the hopes of the Barracuda on Tuesday.
I think in Game 2 as well. I think they just kind of got ahead of themselves a little bit too in Game 2, after playing the way they did and still pulling out a win in Game 1 with the defense being kind of weak. And I think at that point they kind of underestimated Stockton, and Stockton gave them a painful reminder of how good they are.
I think that's a fair assessment. I certainly didn't feel like the effort level was there in Game 2. I know Sommer disagreed with me on that. But the flip side of that is Grosnick stole Game 1.
Correct.
And I think everyone did. He give his team almost a little bit too much for that argument.
Yeah.
But the flip side of that is, Grosnick generally has not struggled in back-to-back starts. And I, not to say he's struggling, but I think he's been, after his stellar rebound season, I think the last couple of games he's been average. And most of the season he's been far better than that.
Yeah, I mean, the defense certainly isn't helping him, but there's been a couple... Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of saves where, you're not blaming the goalie, but you can call out a bad goal without blaming the goalie for a loss, I think. And there's been a couple stinkers for Grosnick this series.
And like you said, you can be critical of a goal, you can be critical of a play, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's the goalie's fault. Right. However, in a big series, your goalie's going to have to make a couple of those,
definitely.
Oh my, oh my gosh, saves. And the Barracuda got those in game one. They got at least two that come right to mind in game three.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, does game five keep up the trend of odd numbers?
We'll one see. Can hope for the Barracuda because what the heck are we going to do? Like, we'll have nothing to talk about. Actually, we'll have lots of things to talk about going forward. But I'm looking forward to this game on Tuesday. As far as after the game, I don't know what we're going to do. I got to talk to everyone and figure it out because Tuesday, 7 start for on a Tuesday night for me with school being in full swing is not ideal. So I'm going to talk to the guys and we'll figure out something. Either there'll be a show without me on Tuesday night, which is fine. You know, Kevin or I guess Dirk, might be there. So, you know, maybe Kevin can run the control panel here on the YouTube, or maybe, you know, we'll try and, we'll either do a recap on a day quickly following, or, you know, a recap of the series and look forward to next series, or a recap of the series and we can all cry.
I think it's too soon for another autopsy show.
I think so. Yeah. I don't think this one would need to be as in depth as the other one. Yeah, but I agree. So I'll talk to the gang and we'll try and figure something out, and I'll try and get that to you guys as quickly as possible so you guys know what to expect. But either way, 7 o'clock Pacific time. At the SAP Center, game 5, get your tickets, be there, be loud. You know, it's going to be a heck of a game. I think either way, it's going to be a heck of a game. This series has been, for the most part, this series has been pretty fun to watch. All the games so far, in my opinion, have been entertaining to watch, even, you know, outcomes, irregardless of the outcomes. So I'm looking forward to seeing game 5. And I think if you have the opportunity to be in attendance, then you absolutely should be. Zach, any final thoughts on the night? Just because I'm going to get us out of here.
You know, I thought that it was a solid effort overall by the Barracuda outside of a couple brain cramps. They're definitely going to have to figure out this goals allowed in bunches thing. That's just not a recipe for success at any level. So
right.
That's going to be something. And luckily, I think most of that is between the ears. So,
yeah.
It's not a skill question. It's not a will question. It's just getting your head on straight and standing up to that tide. Also want to congratulate the New Jersey Devils on winning the Stanley Cup draft lottery. I think that's stupendous. I'm a huge fan of three teams leapfrogging everyone to take 1, 2, 3. I was
tankers be damned.
Yeah. You know, I think that's awesome. And I think that the next team to really consider the Shanna plan might just look to the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't always work out. I look for New Jersey to take either Nico Hischier out of the QMJHL's Halifax Mooseheads, or they might surprise quite a few people. They need defense, so Miro Hiskanen, my number one defender available in this draft, maybe they take a defenseman at number one overall.
Oof.
That's not what I would do. I would take Hischier, and I'd laugh all the way to the bank.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's nice too for New Jersey, because I think New Jersey, they're not, you know, they're trying to make their way, but you know, they picked up Taylor Hall. Now if you can pick up a piece that can play with Taylor Hall, I mean, now you're, you know, I mean, there's some interesting players that they have in their system, but they you know, they've got a decent goaltender, more than decent in my opinion. They could, you know, if they can get a guy that can play with Hall right away, then that team could turn around their fortunes. Although the Metro, I mean, Philly's going to get another, what's Philly picking, second, third?
I believe Philly is second and Dallas is 3.
Right. So, I mean, Philly's going to get a player, and that's, scary. I mean, you want a team that doesn't need to take a defenseman, it's Philly. they're pretty stacked in the D department.
Yeah, they've got a lot of ties in that organization to the Brandon Wheat Kings program. And honestly, I think that Nolan Patrick, I think he fits in with what they're trying to do there. I think he projects to be a really excellent two-way center. And so if you can slot him in at, you know, the second line center and kind of insulate him a little bit, I think that's where he could really flourish. So that could be a phenomenal landing spot for him from a skill set standpoint and an organizational standpoint.
I agree. And you know what? The only sad thing is for both of those teams, though, is they're in the Metro, which is not going to get any easier next year.
No.
And that's the only, you know, that's the only drawback. Although if the Atlantic stays weak, at least there's the wild card spots, I guess. aside from that, I was happy to see that. Dallas picking up another, you know, picking up the third overall. I'm not such a huge fan of that. I mean, I like the fact that all the tankers kind of got, you know, moved out and Vegas got moved all the way to six. You know, $500 million only got you odds, not a pick. But I mean, they still pick like they picked third in every other round. So I mean, they'll be all right, I think. But yeah, no, I mean, you know, Dallas getting another weapon, though, that makes me nervous a little bit for Western Conference reasons.
Do you think that Dallas picks a defenseman?
I don't know, because they have some interesting pieces in their system already.
Right.
So I don't,
they're all,
you know,
European.
Yeah. I don't know if, you know, they might. I mean, it wouldn't hurt, but at some, you know, it's not like they don't have a glutton of forwards either. It's going to be interesting to see, but it wouldn't shock me to see Dallas take a D-man.
No, I think Dallas is where I think the centers go 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
I see the need there in New Jersey and in Philadelphia up front. So that's real interesting. Those two players are the top tier for me. And going into pick number three, that's when things are going to get wild. This is a draft that has very little consensus. It really comes down to who your scouts like,
right,
the skill sets, the organizational need, and who you think is the best available player. Like I have Elias Pettersson out of Teamra as the number three player in this draft. I don't know if that's a match in Dallas, but that's who I have as my number three.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Lady Dragonborn saying in the chat that Dallas takes a goalie. I think they learned that lesson with Jack Campbell.
Yeah, and taking, I think Jake Ottinger, who's my number one goalie, I'm sure longtime listeners have heard me speak at length on Ottinger in Boston University. Taking him down around the Sharks pick, which should be right around pick number 20, would be a reach. You know, unless your organizational need is dire, which I think the Sharks goalie depth might be that. You know, taking any goalie, I would say, in the top 15 picks would be a massive reach. And then, like, if Ottinger fell into the second round, that would not surprise me.
Yeah, no, exactly. I've never been a pick a goalie in the first round guy, but I think in the Sharks situation, you kind of need to at this point. You need to do something. The goaltending pipeline is not spectacular, but yeah. So I'm gonna get us out of here. Thanks everyone for watching. Sorry for audio inconsistencies. Obviously, being on the road, that is going to happen. Yeah, Jay Clark's right. You know, my final thoughts: Sharks, please take some chances in this draft. Please just take some chances. You know, you only have 3 7th round picks. let's get us out of here. Barracuda, I will let you know what we're going to do for post game on Tuesday. We'll figure it out.
Other than that, guys, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully you pick this up on SoundCloud, iTunes, all that fun stuff. If you like what you saw, please subscribe to the channel. Teal Tinted Glasses will be going through the summer. So either whether we're talking Barracuda, Sharks, NHL, we'll find something to talk about going forward. So subscribe to the channel. Check out the audio feed. Subscribe there. Go to Teal Town USA. One day I'm going to write something when I have time. Other than that, guys, have a great night and we're out.